Hello, Denise Lynch here, coming to you from the heart of the Galisteo Village in New Mexico. I'm here at Quartermill Gallery, the physical home of Radio Free Galisteo. This fall, we celebrate our legacy by bringing to you some sounds of the desert. My late mother, Priscilla Hoback, also known affectionately as the Queen of All Mediums, left behind several collectible pieces of her artwork, including some short stories and a book about her beloved Galisteo. Today I'm reading a selection from that book, entitled Coyote and the Patron's Grandson. Many years ago, an adobe wall was built between the Villa Puente Road and my hacienda. It casts deep shadows that keep my bedroom cool on hot summer evenings. As traffic increases on the road, so does the dust and noise. I raise the wall every year or so by adding another 3 or 4 layers of adobes. It is close to time to do this again. Horseback riders and delivery truck drivers can peek into my bathroom window. I live alone and am a light sleeper. Around 4 o'clock every morning, I hear tires crunch on the gravel road as his car drives by. I mumble to myself, "It's too early. Just turn around and go away." I leave my bedroom door open to catch the cool night air. It carries the sleep I crave. I am now awake. The false dawn silhouettes my dog's ears. She growls deep in her throat. "Hush, it's okay. He thinks the village belongs to him. Go back to sleep. We have another hour or so." Unnoticed by all who lie in bed, Coyote, a nocturnal traveler, is wandering the village. He passes Grandson on the road. He is carrying a large basket full of fresh herbs. He and Coyote have been friends for a long time. Coyote greets him. "Grandson, you are looking a little thin-boned and weary. Is it too much bending and digging in the desert? You have not spent enough time in the warm kitchen helping the women cook." Grandson replies, "This morning I'm in a hurry, Coyote. I must go to my studio and make the new potions. Today I picked herbs that relieve toothaches, improve eyesight, and heal sexual maladies. Many people want my services. I am so busy." This grandson is the firstborn son of the current generation who belonged to the original family. Secret arts and titles are passed to him. His maternal grandmother has trained him to be a curandero. He is a reserved and silent man. He does not care what others think. His title, grandson of the patron, may not have the power in Galisteo it once wielded. Still, this title is his birthright. Outside the grandson's studio stands a gnarled dead tree. 2 sun-bleached cow skulls with twisted horns hang from its branches. Early most mornings, a rental car of waiting clients is parked there by his sign, "Herbas de Remedios." His clients are almost always women of a certain age. Today, 3 ladies are waiting for him. All have afflictions of one sort or another. They whisper about the curandero. "I have been to many doctors. Traditional medicine has failed me. I hope this curandero's ancient knowledge will be my answer." When they speak of their experience with the grandson, they tell of a room where the dim light makes rainbow patterns on the wall. Thick sheepskin hides cover the dirt floor. A warm fire crackles. After a time, they feel his hands moving this way and that way, floating them into the shadows. A hand covered with a scented ointment stimulates them. Fears are stifled as heavy breathing fills the room. Around the village, rumors persist. Strange little studio where shadows and rare potions intertwine. Naked bodies hidden by thick cedar smoke obscure dark magic. This curandero uses techniques his grandmother never knew. Most people moving here know little of village history. They care nothing of the patron system, whose unspoken laws were the ruling force here for 3 centuries. The original patron arbitrated all problems, from horse stealing to family blood feuds. Many involved disgrace. The Spanish are prideful people. Daughters sometimes love the wrong sons, sons who absconded with family fortunes. These matters were settled by the patron. His word was law, and with every ruling, his personal fortune grew. A few newcomers ask, "Who is this curandero grandson anyway? Or who was he before selling most of his family land to us? Rumor has it he is using dangerous herbs and preying on sick women." Coyote and the grandson stroll about the village and stop to enjoy Maria's fresh tamales. She fills their plates to overflowing with red chili and cheese. After breakfast, they walk to the hidden spring in the desert. Its water scents the air with life and calls the dragonflies. the iridescent blue ones and the large red ones that come at the end of summer. The wind echoes ocean waves and trumpeting mammoths from another century. Constellations explode. Many feel the desert is indifferent to all, but no, it cares deeply for its chosen ones. It watched as grandson became brother to the ravens and friend to all coyotes. He has knowledge of the wild herbs and knows the names of all the male goats who live on the ranch. He walks the desert seeking his soul like a grain of sand seeks moisture in the dry Los Abuelos Arroyo. Coyote knows the grandson's mortal light is beginning to dim. He will leave this world soon. We may not meet again, and I'm reluctant to say goodbye. I warned him that selling too much of his family's property to the Anglos would bring problems. Too many strangers moving here from elsewhere. I should remind them of who was who in Galisteo they find so charming and are buying up so quickly. Newcomers are enchanted by the winding dirt roads and the cottonwood trees that line them. They love the old adobe homes. Still, they cannot wait to remodel them into modern vacation homes. At night, Coyote trots around the village. He goes to the barn, greets the ravens, and talks with the horses. He crisscrosses the bridge above Galisteo Creek. Sitting by the church where the priest parks his car, he sings a night song. When newcomers park here, they lock their cars, and many times they find they have lost their keys. The locksmith coming from Santa Fe is in no hurry. The trapped visitors wander the roads and knock on doors looking for something to do. No one answers to give directions or entertainment. Cell phones have no internet service. Even the bell tower is silent. The old bell was sent from France. Now it's developed a crack. No longer ringing out its beautiful tones announcing Sunday morning service on birth or death. Just a dull thud. Now they will need a new bell, thinks Coyote. Another problem, another pain in the ass, thinks the carpenter as he climbs the rickety bell tower to troubleshoot the situation. Smudge the church with cedar smoke right away, advises First Raven. The villagers know this cracked bell cannot be repaired. They will need a new one. What will that cost? We better call the priest in Santa Fe. This is a most unusual problem, observed the priest when he arrived. All villagers, even those who did not belong to the church, are informed of this situation. Everybody in the village loves to hear the bell ring out on Sunday morning. No, they say, a sound recording will not do. We need a real bell. A petition is circulated asking everybody for money. Then came the news that the grandson of the last patron had passed away. No bell would peal for him. Still, word of his passing spread quickly through the village. At the service, the church pews are unusually crowded. Those who knew the grandson sat next to newcomers who knew this was an event worth attending. For many, this was the first time they had been inside Iglesia Nuestra Señora de los Remedios. This quaint church was built by Archbishop Lamy. Like him, it was decidedly French. The altar, the stained glass windows, all from France. The ceiling was painted a beautiful French blue, the pews oiled and polished to a mirror shine, the worn wooden floor spotless. There is not a speck of Galisteo dust inside the church. This is a holy place. First and Second Raven perched on the globe willow beside the entrance to the church. They chattered to each other. This Santa Fe priest might be as tricky as Coyote. His eulogy must include the death of more than one man. It should include generations of good and bad men. More than a few villagers have had hard feelings about the patron and his family. Newcomers know little but have experienced this grandson's double-dealing ways. What should the priest say about this grandson, his family, and their legacy now that all have passed away? Can he transform corrupt deeds into Holy Spirit? Once and forever, he thought. The priest's deep voice filled the small church. Anyone who has been wronged by the grandson or his family is invited to release feelings of resentment and bitterness. A few women glanced up. Their cheeks reddened. They pulled their skirts tightly around their legs. Men checked their wallets. Even the choir boy adjusted his apron and looked around nervously. Coyote has always been a true friend of the patron's family, he watched with sad wonder. My companion is gone. Stone and wind are his desert altar. He no longer has mortal thoughts. The priest continued. Anyone who has wronged the grandson or his family may now release their feelings of guilt or shame for their behavior. Memories cross the worn faces of quite a few in their forgiveness. Coyote thought, so many years of disrespect, they do not understand how great their loss will be. The family walked up the hill to the Capo Santo, carrying a simple wooden casket. The grandson was laid to rest here among his relatives, all 300 years of them. Second Raven said, "The grandson was the last to embody history and culture here. Now he belongs to the spirit world." "Do you think that will change things quickly?" First Raven answers. "Maybe not." The patron's power faded gradually. Most did not notice anything at all. The Ravens spent the summer studying Coyote. Now they are ready to return to their Chihuahua shaman. He has promised to teach them to travel between two worlds, between the light and the dark, to carry messages from the dead to the living and back again. Coyote follows the priest to his car. "Now that the funeral is over, I'm going back to Santa Fe. I leave village history and a cracked bell behind. I do not plan to return to Galisteo anytime soon." With that, he shut the car door and drove away. Coyote reflected, "With his passing, I lost my friend, and the village lost much of its authenticity. The grandson carried the power of the patron culture with him. With his death, very little remains." Moonlight casts long shadows across the desert that belongs to Coyote. His golden eyes are moist. He goes to the new grave and sings his song of farewell.
Radio Free Galisteo is listener supported. If you go to www.radiofreegalisteo.com, you can find our Patreon support button. Click it and become an active supporter of this podcast.